want to invite everybody, if you would, to bow your heads with me as I have a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for a beautiful Sabbath, for the commitment made to you by the various individuals that were baptized today, and others who may have recommitted to you as they observed it, and others who may have decided they're going to do something about it. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit continue to fall upon our congregation, that you will anoint me from on high, that this beautiful presentation, Father, that you have decided to present would come out exactly the way you would do it if you were here. And we will leave changed because we saw and heard Jesus. So work this out now, Lord. We just trust you. And thank you. You never fail, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at my suit, if you would. Thank you. It's brown. All my suits are black, gray, or navy. This one's brown. Now, I want to tell you why it's brown. It's because just after I came here, we had the unfortunate privilege of doing a funeral at our previous church in Fallbrook, California, on a Sunday. And so Jenny and I, we came to church, of course, and preached and fellowshipped, and then we got in our car and drove to California. And at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, 3 hours before the wedding, I went, I forgot my suit. My tie and my shirt and my suit. Jenny, what am I going to do the funerals in 3 hours? That's the way I respond. And I go, Lord, I just prayed. I studied my Bible. Anyway, I'll get it one of these days. She says, well, you forgot your suit? Why did you forget your suit? I don't know why I forgot my suit. It's hanging in the garage. I put it there, said, okay, I'll get this, and then I'll come back and get that. So we ran down to the local mall, and we went into the store, and we started looking through suits, and I thought, man, it's going to have to be tailored. It's now 10:30. The funeral is in 2.5 hours. And a guy looked at me and he said, don't worry about it. He said, I'll take care of it. He said, we'll get it tailored. I'll send you to a place. I'll call them right now and tell them this is a rush order. And this suit seemed to fit. It was also on sale, so we could actually almost afford it. I got the shirt, which I don't like. The tie I do like, but... And so I did the funeral. Now, I had a pair of slacks, and I had a t-shirt or a pair of slacks, and I had a shirt. But you know, it just wasn't appropriate for the funeral. And so because it wasn't appropriate for the funeral, we in a panic went to the store, and I actually bought this very suit that I wore today, because it was not appropriate. And I want you to know right now, it is time to dress up. It is time to dress up. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter. And let me show you my church family, my beloved family. And by the way, all those who have joined us on the internet and always do join us on the internet, you're part of our family. It is time to dress up. So open your Bibles. Children, open your Bibles. Here's a parable Jesus told. It's very powerful. I'm going to make it simple. 3 points, we're done. But there's a challenge in here for all of us today. It's called the parable of the wedding feast. So do you have your Bibles open? Children? All right, here we go. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And again he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it, and they went their way. One to their own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he went out, he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, as many as you can find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now I want to stop there in this parable and make sure that you understand that Jesus just gave a series of parables to the religious leaders and those standing around. And by the way, if you really want to understand this parable better and go deeper with it, you actually need to study two previous parables he had just told, but we're not going to do that today. And so this is the setting of the parable. And the first thing I want to show you is this. If you look very closely at verse 3, 4, and 8, all three verses mention the same detail that I want to call to your attention today is item number one. I want you to notice that he sent out his servants to call those who were called. Look at verse 3. And he sent out his servants to call those who were... My New King James says invited, but just so happens in the Greek that the where it says the servants to call, kaleo, those who were called, kaleo. And then if you look at verse 4, it's the same thing, tell those who were called. And finally, when you look at verse 8, it repeats the same Greek word for the very third time, and then said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were called to be called were not worthy. Now, it's very important to know that this particular Greek word is a perfect passive participle. Perfect means that it was an action that was completed in the past. An action completed in the past. Do you understand that means that these people who he called already knew they were going to be called? Did you get that? Did you get that? Okay, thank you. I know you're here. I want you with me on this. They were expecting the call. They knew the call was coming. Perfect, passive participle. Perfect means that it was an action that was completed in the past. So they knew. Passive, by the way, means the passive voice. That's a passive tense, or perfect tense. Passive voice, the Greek verb. Subject receives the action of the verb. So he said, go call those who are called. In other words, go now tell those who know the call is coming that now this is the call. And finally, it's a participle, which means a verbal adjective. An adjective modifies a noun or the subject. And this is the ones who were called in the past are now being called. Them, called. And they said no. Is there something wrong here? In fact, the servants went to talk to who? The people of the king. who were expecting and actually anticipating the call. And when the call came, it says in verse number 5, but they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest, seized servants, treated them spitefully and killed them. Now, folks, the ones who were called anticipated and knew that they were going to be called, but the world had such a hold on them, they didn't come. I thought, Lord, is that me? Does the world have such a hold on me that though I anticipate the second coming of Jesus Christ and know that there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and after that a close of probation, do I have so much of the world in me that as we get closer to this time, I will be more concerned about my farm, my business, or even be to the point where I rough up the servants? The ones expecting the call not only rejected it, but they rejected it because of the world and its pull. How is it with me today? How is it with you? And by the way, if you wonder if the king didn't go to extremes when it said he sent out his army and he burned them, he killed them all and he burned them all, I don't want you to miss what the king ended up calling those who were expecting and waiting for the call, who refused the call when it came. He called them what? Did you catch it? What does it say? Murderers. They were murderers. By the way, just for a side note, something I thought of that really seemed to heighten this for me and why I always keep studying my Bible, because every time I do, I think of something new because it goes so deep. Two calls. John the Baptist, Jesus Christ. The first one they just ignored. The second one they killed. But the point is, how are we doing, folks? Is the world so much a part of our lives that we're actually going to do the same thing they did? So the first thing I want to point out to you today, how is it with your soul? Are you ready for the call? Are you waiting for the call? Verse 8, Then he said to the servants, the wedding is ready, but those who are invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad, and the hall was filled with guests. There's Peter Neary. Did you just see me in there? You see, because when his chosen people said no, he then looked for the riffraff. And guess who he found? He found me. In the highways and the byways, and he called me in to his select group because his appointed adopted ones rejected the call that they were expecting, that when it came, they rejected it. And now I'm part of it. I'm the Gentile now. And he has now included me in his kingdom. He gave me a call. And so here I am. Oh, and by the way, guess what? Here you are too. You're part of the riffraff. I know. Amen. It's hard to say amen about that, isn't it? But because of that, we now have the call. Yes, God would have provided a way for us to come in some other how if Israel held to the teachings of the Bible, which they didn't. But now because of that, we're in here. And now I want to shock you. I want you to notice the description of those that he called to the wedding it says they were what? Did you catch it? They were bad and they were good. Did you see that? That means there's some bad people in the church. Also means there are good people in the church. And I want you to know that I got to thinking about this because there's something that I'm getting to right here and right now that concerns me. But before I get to that exactly, I want to tell you there's times when I have acted bad to some of you. That in spite of my prayer and my Bible study and the graciousness of God to me, I've lost my temper, I've been curt or sharp. You know, I want to tell you something. I'm sorry. And I don't want it to happen again. I want to calm down. And I want to be a faithful servant of the Lord and love everyone and not be one of the bad ones. But I also want to tell you, recently we've had some people in the church who have said things to individuals because of their appearance that have hurt them very greatly. And for those of you who have been hurt, I want you to know there are bad people in the church. But I also know that some of those people are not bad people. They just think they're doing right. And part of it is because of the way I preach. But I want my congregation to know, let the elders, the pastoral staff, and the leader take care of these situations. You worry about yourself. I don't want you targeting each other, no matter how convicted you are on something. In fact, if you're really bothered, come to me about it. And especially the young people, leave them alone. You know what has helped me throughout my ministry is the various places in the Spirit of Prophecy where Ellen White says, "Remember, you were young once too." And you know what? The older I get, the harder it is to remember that. But we're doing diligence as best we can to deal with the circumstances and situations that confront us. But please, here's my saying that I believe the Spirit gave me and I want to give to you. Be hard on yourself, but be easy on everybody else. And then let the pastors and the elders and the leaders work on these things. But let us remember that there is good and there is bad. And by the way, the bad will not be pulled up. He says, remember the servant said to Jesus, "Did you plant bad seeds?" Jesus always gets blamed, doesn't he? "No, he said an enemy did this." "Well, should we go pull them up?" No, you wait till the harvest. The tares grow with the wheat. Why? Because we could be wrong on who a tare is. That includes me. And so I want you to know that the people who were chosen to be called when the call came rejected the call because the world was such a major part of their life. How is it with me? How is it with you? And now we find that he then went to the highways and byways, and in so doing, some of them are bad and some of them are good. Understand that. Let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And let's be really hard on ourselves and easy on everyone else. And number three, as we end this, it is time to dress up. I want you to notice in verse 11, "But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how do you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth.'" It is indeed time to dress up. For sooner or later the king will come and he will personally walk the halls of this church to inspect the guests who are here to discover if they're dressed appropriately or not. And back in those days, and in this parable, everybody knew what that meant is that there's a wedding feast. The king actually provides the garment for you to wear to come to his wedding. And how dare anyone refuse to put on the beautiful new robe that was provided so that they could get entrance into the wedding feast. But the king showed up, of course. Notice the feast was already ongoing. And he came to inspect the guest. And sure enough, he discovered someone who refused to wear the wedding robe. Now, what does the wedding robe represent? Yes. The wedding robe represents the character. The king is coming at a crucial time towards the end of the feast to check out the guests to see if their character is attuned with his character. And you see, that character can only come from the king. And if we try to put on some other robe, which we think is sufficient, a la Cain and Abel, their offering, we discover it's not good enough. In fact, right now I'm sure your mind is going back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were gorgeously robed in a beautiful robe of light, which was the Holy Spirit's presence, until they disobeyed God and suddenly the light was gone and they went, "Woe, we are naked and we are ashamed. We better hide from God." Because they rejected the robe that God had gave them, in which they didn't even know underneath they were naked. And instead they decided that fig leaves would do it just as well, and it didn't. It's time to dress up. Our characters need to be according to His character. In fact, what is the counsel to the church of Laodicea? Buy of me. And by the way, we pursued that very thoroughly, not in the too far past here, in which we discovered that we are to buy from Him gold tried in the fire, white raiment, and hyssop. And in the middle of those two is white raiment, the character of Jesus Christ. I want to be robed in Christ's character, so that when I make a mistake and I act bad towards one of you or to my lovely wife, I will say, "You know what? I was wrong and I am sorry." And I'll go to God and say, "Help me to stop this behavior. I want to be like You, Jesus. I want Your robe of righteousness, not mine. I want my church family to strive every day to have the robe put on them by Jesus, just as You see in the picture, because then when the inspection takes place, we will not be like the ones who expected to be called but rejected the call. We won't be like them. And we won't be thrown into outer darkness. And I'm declaring to you point blank that it is time now to dress up. It is time now to bring our lives, our behavior, our words, our actions, our thoughts before the Lord every day. It is time for us to look at what He's saying to us instead of what we desire, we want, we feel like, or we think is okay. We have to allow God to take inventory. How much of the world is in me? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any world way in me, and lead me instead in Your path of righteousness. That's straight from the Psalms. By the way, it's painful. It's painful. But no one has a merciful judge like we do. No one will be more patient and loving with us than Jesus as we go through this process. But friends, it is time to dress up. I would give anything to be able to remember what it is that set off the argument between Jenny and I. I can't. But it was one of the most eye-opening experiences I had with my dear sweetie. For she really made me mad, and I let her know it. And she had to rush off to go to the academy for registration, and I was supposed to stay there and take care of the boys because she was part of the witnessing class. And when she walked out that door, I was livid, but I was also very frightened because I made her so upset that I wasn't sure she's going to come back. Have any of you ever felt that way? I'll tell you, it is scary. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I can't believe this. This isn't fair. You've got to do something. And in that split second, and I don't even know if I ever told Jenny this story, the Lord brought this to me today. The Lord said to me, Peter, you were wrong in your argument. And I went, what? He didn't say you're wrong the way you argued. He said you were wrong in what you were defending. And I swear to you, I thought I was absolutely correct. And I went, wait a minute, Lord, what are you talking about? And He led my mind and I suddenly realized that I was absolutely wrong and honestly thought I was right. And I said, Lord, you got to bring her back through that door. I got to tell her I'm sorry. I got to let her know that I didn't even realize I was wrong. And let me tell you, an hour or two or whatever it was later, when I heard the garage door open and the door open, I went, well, at least step one is she's home. Oh, I thought, thank you, Lord. And then she came through the door. And of course, I'm a little different from Jenny. If we've had a row, she wants to stay away from me. Me, I want to fix it right now, you know. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Folks, I got to thinking about you and I, our relationships with one another. That we can actually be wrong and think we're absolutely right. We need each other. We need each other so that we can help us get through this difficult time of changing our clothes into His clothes. But the thing is, it's now, not tomorrow. It is now time to dress up. And we've got to be about it. And we've got to work through any disagreements we have. We've got to work through any kind of upset that takes place. Because it's Satan, especially at this church. And let me tell you why I'm saying it. Because we are trying so hard and praying so much, Satan is working harder here. He is. And we've got to keep our minds on that. So I'm pleading with you. And I'm pleading with me that it is time now to dress up. And we've got to let go of those things that are keeping us in our fig leaves instead of the beautiful robe of light that Jesus wants to give us for free when we come to Him and humble ourselves. Father, I want to pray that You would press upon each of our minds here in our hearts those things we need to do to draw closer together instead of pushing apart. And Lord, I pray that You'd move on each and every individual mind and heart, including mine. What is it that we are defiantly holding on to that keeps us from being closer to You and more successful in our reaching other people with this beautiful message? Lord, show us how to put on that robe every single day. Allow You to put it on. And help us to work through our issues. But let no one leave here today without coming to some sort of decision and making that commitment to You because then you will pour out all of heaven, all the angels, and the Holy Spirit to fortify us to carry it through so we can honor you by having your character. Blessed to this end, and thank you that you never fail, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.